On this week in Bad Takes in Boston, MVP rankings. Who are the real contenders? Mailbag, Texas is not back, and more.
Well, Jack, we've made it to episode 10. Yeah, double digits, baby.
Yeah, we
double
did.
digits.
I couldn't count that high till I was at least 13. So
let's get real. I don't think a lot of people expected us to get here to
no.
Make it to double digit episodes.
Our enemies manifested strongly against us. They
Yeah.
wanted us to not get up early. They wanted us to not follow the takes. They wanted us to not give our full, unbridled opinions on football because our enemies wish us to fail. Our enemies want nothing more than us to talk about our favorite teams today and have no one listen to this podcast. But our enemies will not prosper. Right, Tomas?
No, we got a lot to get into. We got
Tons.
A lot to get into. First off, another week in the NFL has gone by, another week in college football. And we're going to talk about both this week. I feel like there's a lot of good storylines in the NFL. I mean, we got MVP rankings we're going to talk about. We're going to get into who are the real contenders for the Super Bowl in the NFL. And in college football, I mean, number one, Texas just got upset this past weekend. Oregon's now the number one team. Bama continues the flutter. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. So let's get into these MVP rankings first off, because if you watched Monday Night Football last night, I think Lamar Jackson just made himself a very good case to potentially be the MVP yet again and went back to back. But there's this guy named Josh Allen who has yet to throw an interception this year looming over his shoulder, or who probably looks like the front runner right now. And as much as you don't want me to say it, Patrick Mahomes is also in there because they keep winning. And I watched that entirety of that 49ers game. And if you take Pat Mahomes off of the Chiefs, I don't think they're very good. And everyone's going to say, well, what about the stats? What about this? I understand that. But take a step back.
That is traditionally how it's decided.
I know. But a part of me is like, just let me glaze Mahomes for a second. Take a step back. When he had, you know, Tyreek Hill and a young Travis Kelce, and they were a very dynamic team. They would go vertical. They were throwing routes all over the place. They were able to run the ball. Mahomes was able to run, and they were able just to put up points at ease. This year's a little different. I mean, they don't got a lot of receivers. They're led by Xavier Worthy right now. I want to say this about Patrick Mahomes' interceptions, though. He's thrown at least three or four this year where it's gone off his receiver's hands and it's been picked off. So I do want to make that known. But at the same time, you take Mahomes off the Chiefs, I don't think this is an undefeated football team. And I don't see how anyone else can, you know, not agree with that take.
He has thrown eight picks as of this
And I
week.
Think it should be four. It realistically should be four.
Four? Yeah, okay, sure. But, like, compare that to, like, you can't just hand it to him.
I don't think so either. I don't think you can hand it to him. But he's still there. I mean, I think he has the, like, third or fourth best odds right now to win it. Yeah, he has the second best odds at plus 400. Lamar is +3. This is on DraftKings, by the way. Lamar's plus 300. Mahomes is plus 400. Josh Allen's plus 550. And then it gets interesting with Jared Goff at 700.
Yeah, but that's the thing about, like, betting lines that, like obviously they are a good predictor of, like, where people are putting their money. But, like, sometimes it's a matter of, like if you did just looked at betting lines, you would have thought Bronny James is one of the greatest basketball players of all time because everyone was predicting he would go number one. You know, like, I'm not an anti-Chiefs person. I think the Chiefs are one of the few teams that could totally win the Super Bowl this year. But in terms of, like, what players are doing on the field, right now it is one of two guys' job, and maybe three. And that is Lamar, Josh Allen, and a sneaky Sam Darnold. In terms of best play on the field, by a mile.
After they lost
to the best team in the NFL,
I know,
one of the best
but
teams.
You know what blows my mind is Sam Darnold still has like the seventh or eighth best odds to win the MVP, which I remember we talked about this a couple episodes ago. I'm like, that blows my mind because they were undefeated at that point. And for me, the Vikings are playing good ball, but again, I think I made this point earlier earlier. I just don't think the voters are going to give Sam Darnold an MVP, no matter how good he plays.
Let's stop fence sitting. Who do you think right now, if it was like up to just Tomas, who are you handing it to right now?
I'm going to hand it to Josh Allen. And because Lamar is so good. I mean, we watched him last night. I think between both of us, at least like six or seven times, we're like, God,
wow,
he's so good.
Yes.
But Josh Allen, one, his defense is not very good. They're not good
Not
at
good at
all.
all.
Secondly, he was playing the first, what, 8 weeks, 7 weeks of the season with no help. And that's like very true. I mean, they had no one catching the ball. Keon Coleman was supposed to go in there and just fix the problem, and it was obvious he was not ready for that role. They go get Amari Cooper now, which I think is going to be even more beneficial for this offense. And another thing too is he hasn't thrown an interception. He hasn't thrown an interception this year. We're
That is
eight.
nuts. Yeah.
We're 7 weeks through, heading into week eight, and he has yet to turn the ball over, which that was been his main negative.
Yeah.
That's the narrative around him is, oh, he turns the ball too many times, but he hasn't thrown a pick. So for me, I think it's Josh Allen, because when I look at which player, the same way I was kind of saying with Mahomes, you take that guy off the team, who is the MVP? I think the Bills are a poverty franchise with no Josh Allen versus the Ravens, who I think could stay afloat because of the guys they have around
See,
Lamar.
that's where I kind of disagree because like
That
I
Ravens defense looked damn good yesterday.
they did they let up 31 points, you know? Like then they just kind of folded at the end and nearly gave it away. Like I think the real testament to how good Lamar Jackson is how good he is around that awful O-line. And they are awful now. I mean, maybe that's a little dramatic, like Ronnie Stanley's still there and he's one of the better left tackles in the league, but the way in which like those interior guards just got like folded in pass protection yesterday. Like on those first couple drives, it was very clear that this is going to be a game where Lamar had to like put it all on him
And he did.
and his like mishmash aggregate receivers of like this guy's a little tall but can't really catch. This guy's short and fast but isn't big at all, like and can't do anything like in contested areas. Like the fact that he can make that team be at a point where yes, they are 4-2 and they lost some tough games, but they almost beat the Chiefs. You know, if they beat the Chiefs and Isaiah Likely's feet were a couple inches to more in, we'd be having a completely different conversation about the NFL right now. We probably would have
Because the
had them as the best team.
Chiefs would be 5-1
Yeah.
and Lamar would be 6-1 right now if that was the case. But I also too I we, the part about the Ravens is in the same you can make the same argument with Josh Allen. They still can't beat Mahomeboy. They can't beat Mahomes. They haven't beaten Mahomes. The only one who has beaten Mahomes is Joe Burrow, and I'm just going to do it for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah.
The Bengals are now 3-4.
Yeah, no,
And
they're favorite against who are they playing this week?
they're playing the Eagles. Yeah, they're
Yeah,
favorites
they're
against the
favorite. They're
Eagles.
like much plus money against the Eagles right
But
now.
my thing is, when I look at the schedule, they're playing the Eagles and then Las Vegas next 2 weeks. I mean, they should be 5-4 playing at Baltimore Sunday night game. But I think there's an underlying narrative here that if the Bengals somehow turn this around and make the playoffs, let's say they win like 10 games, I think you're going to have a pretty good argument for Joe Burrow being the MVP if he keeps playing the way he is. Because right now, statistically, he actually is the best quarterback in football.
Yes.
And he has played really good with a bad offensive line and a bad defense. And it really is him, Jamar, and T. Higgins just saying, hey, my guys, us three versus everyone else. And they got an ugly win at Cleveland. They had an ugly win against the Giants. But if they can beat Philly this weekend, I think that's where I kind of say, maybe the Bengals might be inching in the right direction. Because then they play, like I said, they play the Raiders, and I could see them having finally being above 500. And then that's where kind of the heat of their schedule starts coming in. But it's Joe Burrow. I feel like you really can't count that guy out if he's healthy and he's playing good football. So I think that's if you want to talk about a dark horse MVP right now, I think Joe Burrow probably has the it speaks to me.
Honestly,
It
after
speaks
how
to
they
me.
played last week, I don't know if I'm super confident in the idea that they're going to beat the Eagles.
I don't know. They're at home. That will say they're at home. They've had two back-to-back road games, and now they're going back to Cincy.
Because you know, like there's just going to be a ton of money on the Bengals. Like they're going to want the Bengals to win this game so bad. They need them to be back into the betting conversation.
Yeah, the Joe Burrow
And
narrative is huge. Yeah.
yeah, and as much as and this isn't talking about the Giants because it's talking about the Eagles, they absolutely ripped them apart by the seams and
Yeah.
looked like the team that I felt comfortable being like, yeah, that's the third best team in football because what are you going to do? They're going to just run the ball on you with their great offensive line, Saquon Barkley, and their defense is going to play good because Vic Fangio is probably the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. You know, like that to me, like Joe Burrow can do a lot, but Joe Burrow can't like play middle linebacker and stop Saquon Barkley. Yeah. And he never will. They'll
No.
never let him. Maybe he'll want to, but they'll never let him do that. And to me, that's just where the big concern there for is. But I do see the point. Like the man, granted, didn't have a great game against the Giants when I watched him, which is like kind of like the last time I really watched him play, but he was able to just like create plays out of nothing. Like he was able to show that he is both fast and athletic and makes good decisions, isn't gonna throw the ball over. I completely agree. I honestly would prefer to have a Joe Burrow above a Sam Darnold at this point, based on the fact that like Joe has had to do more for his team, whereas Sam at times has felt like he's along for the ride, which is kind of like dumping passing touchdowns onto people and only getting like 100 something yards a game, passing wise. But realistically, I'll never not think it's Lamar until there's some sort of like big like fall apart through the like later end of the season, which kind of does sometimes happen for him. But right now, it seems like a classic Lamar NFL season, which isn't
So you're
super
gonna so you
fun.
got Lamar. So you think
I
Lamar is gonna win the
100% as of right now. Yeah, I mean, I can't say that for
Really?
sure. I don't think like there's any sort of like, but like if I had to give it to someone right now, it was like the Jack Fund Award, and it ends after week eight. I'm giving it to Lamar Jackson. I don't see any reason to not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go with I said Josh Allen, so I think I'm gonna stick with that. But now sticking on the NFL, who are the real contenders? Who
Yeah.
We got we're gonna go three teams from the NFC, three teams
Yep.
from the AFC that we believe can actually win the Super Bowl. Because don't get me wrong, there's some fringe teams right now, but I let, let let's get into it. You want to do AFC or NFC first?
How about we just each give our AFC and NFC,
Okay, let's do
and
AFC first. Let's do
yeah.
AFC first. You got it. Go.
Okay, Chiefs. I think we all feel pretty good about that. Anyone gonna complain?
I don't
No.
think so.
Bills
Yep.
and the Ravens.
Okay.
Would you like me to keep going with the NFC, or do you
I
want?
mean, let's think about it, because mine are going to be the exact same, the AFC. So, I mean,
Oh, okay.
that's
Oh, that's okay.
my yeah, it's the exact same.
Okay.
I don't, the only team, and then if I want to have like an honorable mention team, I'm going to say the Texans, just because I know CJ Stroud didn't play that good this past weekend. But I think they're a really good coach football team. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to get them right when they need to be. And I think too, this is a young team. This is a hungry team. They made it to the playoffs last year. I don't see them not at least getting to the divisional round this year because they are very talented. They're also doing this without Nico Collins, which I think is very huge.
People don't understand how much of a difference that is. I think you have to like really kind
Yeah.
of like have seen how important that is for them to like really pick up on that.
Yeah, I know. That's the crazy part about it, because I never thought that that having Nico Collins that would really impact that offense, but it has. It really
Yes.
has. Chiefs, dude, they're inevitable. I mean, let's take a second to talk about this Niners game. I mean, this past weekend,
We're saying Mahomes too much. We're not saying Spagnuolo enough.
I
We don't say the word
okay.
Steve Spagnuolo on this
Okay.
podcast enough. And that's for me why it is. I mean, I kind of interrupted you there. Go
No,
ahead. But
no. I
like
mean, I think
it.
you're bringing up a good point. I think you are bringing up a good point, is that this defense is playing lights out. Chris Jones, dog. You know, I mean, this defensive line is playing really good football. They're able to stop the run. And because they're able to stop the run, they're making a lot of these talented offenses. And I'm going to say the 49ers, you know, they got some dudes. I know Debo was hurt. I know Brandon Ayuk got hurt. I mean, that whole team is now banged up. But the Chiefs ha there was an opportunity in that game for the Niners to really come back in and take the lead. They were only down by, what was it, 2 points at one point? And you're thinking, man, no way the Niners are about to make this a game. And right when you took the second to say, you know what, are the Chiefs gonna make this a are the Niners gonna make this a game? The Chiefs said no, put their foot on the gas, and the Niners never had a chance. That is why I think they're inevitable. They know when to turn, when they know when the game might be about to slip out of their hands, or uh-oh, we're about to have a dogfight. And before it gets to that point, something clicks on either side of the ball, whether the offense has it or the defense has it, and says, no, we're either getting a stop or we're scoring a touchdown here. And they do it. They've done it for 6 straight weeks. They've done it, and they haven't lost because they're a good coach football team. And I think there's another element too. Everyone says, you know, hungry dogs, what is it? Hungry dogs eat faster or something like that. Yeah, hungry dogs run faster. Well, I think these guys are pretty hungry too, because they have a chance to make history. And they're hungry for greatness, to literally be the one of the if you want to talk about a dynasty, it's literally, we're talking about dynasty here if they win the Super Bowl this year.
They'd be arguably the best dynasty of all time. Not necessarily that's the opinion I'd take, but you could definitely three in a row, you
Three in a
can't. It's hard
row,
to
right? There's gonna be a crazy argument there if they pull it off. So when it comes to the Chiefs, they're inevitable, in my opinion. I'm like, we can talk all we want about Lamar and Josh Allen. I just don't think when it matters, someone's gonna beat Mahomes.
It pisses me off so much how they can draft these guys who on other teams probably would not work out as well as they do. These Leo Chenals, these Drew Tranquils, these George Karlaftises, and they just go to the Chiefs, and every time you turn them on, when you're thinking like, oh, like here's a Mahomes turnover, they're gonna capitalize here, they're not gonna be able to recover. Those guys are making the plays that are just gonna destroy any sort of narrative that says, okay, this team isn't going to at least make the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Like it's so mind-blowing to me how well built they are from top, because realistically, their offense isn't great right now. I don't really like their O-line. I think the building an O-line around Wanya Morris,
They also can't run the ball very
it's not
effectively.
good. They can't run the ball that well. Hence why you've tried to dump Kareem Hunt on me a couple times in fantasy. I don't like their offense, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter what I like and don't like because they win.
Yeah,
It
exactly.
doesn't
It
matter.
takes away every argument you want to have, undermining the Chiefs. That's like, wow, they haven't lost yet. And if
And
you thought they were going to lose, I thought it was going to potentially be on Sunday, and they didn't.
like those stupid Monday Night Football graphics that they do against bad teams were like it's like the Pats last year and they show like a Bill Belichick edit. Like it's time when like the Chiefs are in prime time to start putting Steve Spagnuolo up there as the guy.
Okay.
Because his schemes absolutely just run people over and destroy the best offensive coordinators in this league, no matter what.
Do you want to? Okay. Last thing I'm going to say about the Chiefs so that we can get into these other teams since we're not, so we don't glaze them for the whole, time. Listen, they play, this is their next four games: Vegas, Tampa Bay, Denver, and then they play at Buffalo. That Buffalo game is the only one I care about because you know why? They aren't going to lose any of those games. They're not going to lose to the Raiders. They're not going to lose to Tampa Bay, and they're definitely not losing to Denver. Buffalo, put a pin in it.
I could see the Broncos defense kind of giving
No,
them
I
some
don't.
trouble. Not that they'll lose.
Mahomes always beats them. Mahomes always beats Denver. He has their number. I don't think he's ever lost to Denver. I don't know. I gotta fact check that, but I don't think he's ever lost to Denver. But then you look at the rest of their schedule, dude, and it's Carolina, Vegas again, the Chargers, the Browns, the Texans, Steelers, and Denver. I don't want. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
They're
If
not going to win
they,
out. They're not going to win out. And you need to take that out. You need no, because people are going to use this against your enemies. Remember our enemies from the
No,
beginning. They're going to.
I'm just saying, like their schedule is very weak. Their schedule is very
Totally.
weak. And if they beat Buffalo, they then it's crazy. They beat Buffalo and they turn around and they get to play Carolina. So think of like
That's
a
a free week.
letdown.
That's
Think
a
of like
free
a
week.
letdown spot. They don't have a letdown spot because you're playing Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Like the worst possible, the best possible team you can play in a letdown scenario is the Panthers. That's all I'm gonna say on that. But for the other teams, look, when I look at the Bills, you got Josh Allen. That's all you need. In the same way about the Ravens. The Ravens have I think, a very good defense, and their run defense is the best in the league. They didn't really show it yesterday. I was very impressed with the way Tampa Bay ran the ball. But when you have Lamar Jackson, when you have the King and Derrick Henry, and you got Zay Flowers, and I think Zay Flowers now has matured and really grown into that wide receiver one role. Because, man, when he touches the football or the way they're able to put the ball in his hands in space is very impressive. Also, too, Justice Hill, he's their RB2, but that speed and pass catching ability out of the backfield paired with Derrick Henry, I'm gonna run you over, is a very nice 1-2 punch. And then, oh, wait a second, let Lamar pull one and break one for 15
They were
yards.
killing them on that play where they take Derrick Henry out, put Justice Hill in. They think obviously passing scenario, and then they just screen it to the right with Justice Hill, and he runs for like 12 yards a pop every time.
It's just pop plays. It's just boom. Pop plays. I need a chunk play. I need a chunk play. And it works.
It worked super well. I think they could totally beat the Chiefs. I think the Ravens can
In
totally
a
beat the
rematch,
Chiefs.
I think so too, considering that they did play already this year and they lost.
And that was arguably one of Mahomes' better games
It was.
this
It
year, you
was.
know? And like I have reservations about the Ravens defense, but I think that overall, like if they needed to like show up for their team. Lamar will put them in a situation where they don't need to win them the game. They just need
That's
to not
fair.
lose them.
So let's get to the NFC.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this
This one's
first.
weirder.
I'm gonna do this one first.
There's dumb stuff here.
I'm gonna go Lions, obviously. I'm going to also go the Vikings because people seeing what I saw against the Lions, couple plays go their way, ball bounces their way. You know, they get a fumble here, they get a pick there. You know, Sam Darnold maybe doesn't throw an interception, they win that game. I mean, they literally came back from what was it? Like 21-10 or a halftime or something. And they had the lead, and then, you know, the Lions went down the field, last possession of the game, and they won. Tip your cap to Detroit. But that Vikings team, I think, is legit. And I'm gonna say the Packers. I'm a Jordan Love believer. I think people are really quick to forget about how they were probably two or three plays away from playing in the Super Bowl last year. Literally, they were beating the Niners the entire game. Until right at the end. And I'm not, and the reason why I'm for all the other people out there listening, you're like, what about the Commanders? I can't, in my right conscience, tell myself, even though they're 5-2, that this Commanders team is going to beat the Lions, is going to beat the Vikings, they're not going to beat the Packers. I just don't see them being able to play at that level yet. And also, too, I know Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, that's real cool. But people forget that they have a notorious history of like sucking when it actually matters. And that's what I feel like might kind of bite them in the butt going forward. Once we get a little closer to our, hey, every snap matters, every play matters, it's win or go home. I feel like one of them's gonna choke. That's just me.
The NFC is so much harder to predict for this. It's so
100%.
much grosser. Obviously, I agree with the Lions. I still think they're probably like my Super Bowl favorite. I said that at the beginning. I always like them a ton. I also like the Vikings. I mean, I kind of feel like they're a little inevitable. The fact that they just can't seem to like play bad football or play to the level of these bad opponents they go against. It's genuinely shocking how like the way and I can only speak to this through like the media I consume, like the way people talked about like back when we thought the Giants offense could be something, the way people talked about it was like, oh well, he's played really good in every game except the Vikings, and that's okay because the Vikings are like elite, and that to me is just shocking considering the general like. You know, there's not a ton of guys on that defense that really stand up as like the dude, the one guy, the like impossibly good defensive player that like you need to like game plan for automatically. It's just a matter of Brian Flores making a great defense that people can't get around. And I specifically only said two teams because I don't really like to have a third team right now, but I'm going to give you one anyway. It's definitely not going to be the Falcons because they still have a -6 point differential, even though they're
Three.
4-3, which is crazy. I'm going to say it's the Commanders. I'm going to say it's the Commanders. I don't really care about their past. I don't really care what happened. In this world, you know, we take people for who they are and where they're at as opposed to where they've been. They only lost by one touchdown to the Ravens in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. I understand that their defense is bad, but hasn't every team we've talked about had like one side of the ball that's like kind of problematic here? Like the Chiefs have a bad offense and we just kind of acknowledge it, but we're like, they win games. The Commanders' defense shouldn't be good, and it's not good. It still like lets up a ton of yards and has Emmanuel Forbes playing like corner.
But what about the aspect of, do you have any worry about Jaden Daniels and the injury with his rib? Because they're saying he's going to be week to week, or he should play this weekend, or he might play this weekend. But I mean, we knew this coming out of college with him that
He's a little fragile.
he's a little fragile and he's not very good at protecting himself.
No. He needs to put on a little more beef in the
And so
obliques. No, I
that's
get that.
another part that scares me a little
Well,
bit.
I'll tell you what, and this is due to my long history of being a doctor, even though I never finished medical school. I have heard from people are
People,
saying
people.
that rib injuries generally can be recovered from on like a week-to-week basis, and he can return. Right now, they got in the next 3 weeks, they got the Bears at the Giants, Steelers. Not exactly like the easiest schedule known to man for the Marcus Mariota Commanders, but one in which, like, okay, let's imagine you just beat the Commander, or you just beat the Giants in that, which, like, they will. Yeah, only dropped two games, and that's if he's out 3 weeks. I think that's a little bit of a conservative estimate, but maybe they'll do that for the playoffs. And then he comes back, they play the Eagles, they play the Cowboys, they play the Titans, bye, Saints, then Eagles again, then Falcons to end the year, and then the Cowboys again. I think they could totally win out in that against, like, not awful teams, but teams that, like, if Jaden Daniels comes back and the market and this team led by Marcus Mariota, who has consistently failed across the league,
Looked pretty
does it
good.
look awful?
It looked pretty
Yeah,
good.
because realistically, like, yes, it was against the Panthers, but they still look good. He commanded that offense. In fact, it looked like they were doing certain things that, like, they weren't comfortable doing yet with Jaden Daniels because it was a veteran presence behind there. And I've always been a Marcus Mariota, like, as a person fan. Like, I always liked him. I just am of the opinion that if you win games and you have an elite quarterback, things can go your way. Things can go your way. And I think that people are bought in there. You know, like, right hand up, who are we, the Commanders? You know, like, it's becoming a movement. It's becoming a movement. Northern Virginia, all those kids, their dads who work for Raytheon and Boeing and are making bombs to, like, you know, blow people up, they are excited right now for the first time since the 90s. You know, and that energy precedes the stadium. When you see that stadium fill up for the first time ever, because trust me, as bad as the formerly Redskins, formerly football team, currently Commanders, like, franchise has been, that is like a proud franchise. The people who are into them are into them. And they are going to rally around the fact that they can, like, actually do some damage in this playoff. They're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. They're not. They're too weak from a offensive line and general weapons and like, secondary perspective for sure. But overall, they could totally make some damage in this league. They could throw the ball downfield. They could do explosive plays on offense, and they get after the pass. They pass rush the ball really well. You know, I support it. I support them. I think, and especially if they got blown out by the Ravens, like, if it was some, like, 37 to 10
It would have
stuff,
changed it
I
for
would have
them.
been like, all right, it was a fun week, but
Yeah.
we lost. They kept it close. They kept it in there.
I want to just highlight before we switch over to college football. I want to
Yeah.
highlight a couple games that are going to be happening this weekend. I
Yeah.
think the first one that really catches my eye, I know we kind of mentioned the Eagles Bengals. I think that's huge in the sense of for both teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because think about it, if Bengals pull this thing off, they're a 500 team. Eagles lose, you're starting to have, you know, the same negative talk that we've been having about their dynamic and Sirianni. Second game, I think that's going to speak a lot is the Falcons and Bucks because whoever loses that game is going to be 500. And considering the Falcons already beat Tampa Bay has to win this game. They're now going to be without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Feel bad for Baker. Let's just say that. I mean, I don't know who's going to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
Tate Otten.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I the Falcons defense isn't good.
And
They I think I,
lastly,
yeah. Actually, no, they're okay, but yeah,
Bears
just the Falcons.
Commanders. Because I want to know if Jaden Daniels plays. Right now, the Bears are 3-point favorites, but I think that entirely depends on if Jaden Daniels plays or not. But I think personally, from like an ego standpoint, he's going to want to play that game. He's going to want to play Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, that's both a huge game for both those teams.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it. Commanders lose, they're 5-3. Bears win, they're 5-2. And then we're talking about Chicago being 5-2. And if they beat the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, be ready for my narrative. It's going to be pushed
But I'm pretty open to the
extremely.
possibility of the Marcus Mariota Commanders beating the Bears.
I'm not.
I'm pretty open to that
I'm
possibility.
not.
Like, they didn't just
Yeah.
beat the Panthers, they, like, destroyed them. And the Bears, granted, they've been better, but they're still consistently a little wishy-washy. Like, if Marcus Mariota in that offense does well against the Bears defense, which is the better of their two units, look out. That's all I'm saying. And I think it's totally within the realm of possibility because Cliff Kingsbury seems to, like, really have, like, his pulse on, like, what can on the jugular of some of these defenses in the NFL of how to, like, just get enough points to beat them.
That's true. I see your point.
Yeah.
And with that, let's talk some college football. I think first off, Texas is not back. Horns down,
No,
baby.
no,
That
no,
horns
no. They're
down.
so bad. They're so bad.
Horns
They're
down.
so bad.
30 to
That's terrible.
15, lost to Georgia at home, mind you. At home, mind you. I want to talk about this because I think this is the bigger story with this team. The benching of Quinn Ewers in the second quarter to bring in Arch for what was it, a drive or two? I think it was one drive,
Yeah.
actually. And then put him back in the game.
Might have been two, but yeah, keep
And then
going.
after the game, they ask him what was that, and Sarkisian is like, well, I think my our quarterback or our leader just need a second to clear his head.
That's not what you do.
What are
You
you
can't do that.
talking about? You can't. The whole fan base has been trying to create this narrative that Arch is better than Quinn Ewers. The moment Ewers went down, they're like, finally, we're going to see Arch Manning. And he played pretty good. He did play good. Now, I don't think he played great at all times because he did play some sorry teams. He didn't play like some top tier teams. I would have loved if he would have played against Georgia, people would have really seen why. I don't think he's ready yet. But then you go back to Ewers when you're down. After already doing that, there's no way that did not create some type of unsettling dynamic as a team, because there had to be guys that are like, did we really just pull this guy? This guy's gonna be Quinn Ewers was the highest rated prospect coming out of high school. The dude got $1 million to go to Ohio State. I remember how crazy that was.
Wasn't he
Remember
like one
that?
of the first like 100
Guys to get NIL type money. Yes. And I remember like being in high school where you graduate early, or like my senior year of high school, I think it was. I was like, dude, no way they're gonna give this guy $1 million. You know what I mean? I was like, this is nuts. Or it was my freshman year of college. I remember thinking, this is
He
crazy.
declared early
He
because
left early. Yeah, he left
so he
early.
could just get money.
Literally hit $1 million at like 17. Going to be talked about as a first round pick. The dude went, made it to the college football playoff last year. And that was all him. Last year was literally all him. He did it all for them, and he played pretty good. I don't think Ewers is bad. I think Texas as a whole is just severely overrated. Their defense is not as good as I think people thought they were, because they haven't played anybody yet. And secondly, where do you go from here? Or how is that working as a confidence standpoint as your quarterback, right? A guy like Ewers, right? A guy like Ewers who is supposed to take these guys to the top. But now what? After a quarter and a half, he's not having, a lights out performance. You're gonna bench me for Arch Manning?
That this
That's
is
how
that
I
this
think I'd feel.
that's my issue with this. And this is and I don't know how many coaches of football listen to this podcast, but realistically, there are only certain situations in where you pull a stunt like that in terms of like the dramatic benching and then re-implementation of a player. And the only times like I really think of it happening where I would think it's a good idea is like if you're rotating a running back and like they could do like a really stupid fumble or like go off sides or something, then in that case you take him out and you say like I can't trust you right now, give yourself a second and re-get back in there. But if it's like a quarterback that like has Heisman prospects in the biggest game at that point he had ever played in, you do not ring like throw like a nickel into a jar and shake it around in his head and do that to his confidence by benching him and saying allowing him to clear his mind while Arch Manning goes out there, tries to play hero ball and gets destroyed. That to me is a terrible decision.
That's literally what they did. It's so funny. That's literally what they did.
If you are a quarterback, if you are a quarterback, that is the ultimate confidence position, besides maybe kicker. If you are not confident, if your coaching staff shows that they do not need want you in the big plays, you will always, even if you don't consciously say it to yourself, feel that inside of you. And when you feel that inside of you, you do not play as well. And it is the coaches with their like what I'll call hubris and poor decision making actually killing their season by failing to like. Because what they thought they were doing was some sort of Nick Saban, like, oh, we're going to put Tua in over Jalen Hurts, and that's just what the situation needs. But they don't realize that
It's
Arch
not like
Manning is
that.
like 12. He's 12. You know, like he went to Texas to sit in the backup for a reason so he could develop his game. We didn't need him to be ready right now. And they're now just saying to him, yeah, man, like get in there against probably the best defense you'll ever see. And just go crazy, throw the ball
Figure it
around.
out. You're down, you're down. What was it, like 23-0? You might as well figure it out.
Like 2 years ago, this man was playing like low A ball in Tennessee with his center being 5'9", 210 pounds. And now they got the Georgia defensive lineman breathing down his neck. He thinks he could run around and he can't. While a guy who realistically would have been better in that drive is standing on the sideline doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like Sarkisian needs to answer for that. Is the Longhorn Network still a thing? Do they still do that or they run
Yeah.
out of money? Okay. There needs to be a constant press conference of Steve Sarkisian where he's just answering that question as to why he did that. Because
It
they're not
it's
going to be as
funny.
good
It,
now.
it so I okay, so they asked him obviously the question, right? They obviously asked it to him. And I mean, he said, "Oh, my quarterback needed to clear his head." I was just and this is the Texas for you, because I know this is how it went. thinking about the media side of things or the
Yeah.
people that were in there. I promise you, they probably told a lot of those members of the media, and I bet, a good machunk are, Longhorn people too itself. But I think a lot of them just said, "Hey, you can ask the question, but don't poke at it," kind of thing. I bet that was
They have that
something.
sort of relationship with the media down
Probably.
there.
I mean,
Like,
they do
yeah.
that. I remember, not to talk about me for a second, but like at A&M, I remember when I would go to these press conferences of like Jimbo Fisher or, some of these little higher profile guys or these players. There's certain questions that I remember people would steer away from, but you would know it was a necessity. I think when things would get bad, like if things get bad or like, really starts hitting the fan, then those questions kind of, they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But for a team that was number one, they lost to a really good Georgia team, you're not going to try and stir any pot considering you're still, as of now, in the college football playoff and you still basically control your own destiny. I mean, Texas' schedule the rest of the way is pretty easy, except for when they get to A&M at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But let's say like Texas like somehow loses within the next like 2 weeks or 3 weeks and they have two losses, that agenda might start getting pushed. But
Especially when, and this kills me to say because I think your school is a little cringe, a little very cringe. I think you're going to kill LSU this weekend. Like, I think you're going to thump them and just catapult yourselves into the top 10 conversation. Because LSU's overrated as all get out. They can't cover a spread to save my life. Come on, guys. I just want to buy food. Like, give me money. And they can't do it. And I think, like you said, blackout in College Station, Garrett Nussmeier doesn't have a light, doesn't have a candle to light in that place. He is going to be destroyed.
I forgot this stat for you. I
Yeah.
wish I could go back to when it was, but oh man, I'm gonna lie to you and say I think it's like the last within the last like 10 years, last decade or last 7 years or something like that, the home team between LSU and A&M has won every time.
Really?
And A&M is home this weekend. So I think that's gonna be really cool for the Aggs. Do you wanna go?
Well,
Let's let's.
I want
I
to
know
say
you wanna
something
talk.
first.
All
I want to
right,
say
go,
something
go.
first. Do you think Oregon is fraudulent?
Yes, extremely, dude. Dylan
Okay.
Gabriel is their quarterback. I
Yes.
think people are forgetting that Dylan Gabriel is their quarterback. And Illinois this weekend? Look, Oregon is now, this is where I think they're going to get into the heart of their schedule because people got to forget they almost lost to Boise State by three. They beat them by
They
three.
played a competitive game against Idaho.
I know.
They played
I
in
know. And
super
then they
comp.
played a competitive game against Boise State.
Yeah.
They barely beat Ohio State. And like the more and more I've thought about that game, Ohio State pretty much gave it to them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry they did. But they're gonna play an Illinois team who is really hungry and they gotta go on they're at home for this. That's the only thing that
How
helps
about the
them.
Brett Bielema resurgence?
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. Who would have thought that would happen?
But the thing about Oregon is after they play Illinois, who's, a ranked team, their second ranked team they're playing all year, which is crazy to think about considering we're gonna put them at number one. But they're gonna have to go the road, and I know this team has done nothing all year, but Michigan on the road, I think, is gonna be a little tougher game than people think.
It's tougher, but they're not good
I
either.
don't, yeah.
They're not
But
good.
then again, they also have to go play at Wisconsin, which
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin at the end of the year might give them a little trouble. And then they close the year against Washington.
I think they win out, but I'm just gonna fade them in the playoff.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. They play a good football team with like a good defense. They're not gonna win. They can't, they're not gonna win,
well,
dude.
if they enter number one, you know who they might end up playing?
Ooh.
No, like Navy. Or
Navy's not gonna
Army.
be at 12. Dude, they're not gonna be at 12.
They totally can if they went out. And if they win the
Oh,
Commander's
you're
Cup,
right. I
and then
forget
they,
because then you get an automatic bid to the playoff. That's gonna be
and
kind
they
of
have a
cool.
conference too. That's the thing.
Yeah,
They're in the Conference
you're right.
USA. They're
You're
not
right.
in, they're not Army who needs to
They're not
just like,
independent anymore. Yep. So now let's talk about Alabama because I feel like we can't.
Ignore
We have
that.
to talk college football if we're talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
They're done, dude. They're like done.
Yeah, they're cooked.
I just don't understand what happened with like Jalen Milroe. After that Georgia game, I was like, oh my gosh, my plus 1800 Heisman ticket. This is going to feed families. This is going to feed me for months on end. And then they lost to Vanderbilt.
And it just
And
killed
then
them.
they beat South Carolina barely. And then you lose to Tennessee when they were winning. They were up 7-0 at halftime. And there was no indication that Tennessee was going to do anything. And they would move the ball. Alabama would literally move the ball. They get to the 50-yard line, stall out. Get to the 50-yard line, stall out. And in my head, I'm thinking, what is going on? there's like they don't look like dogs. I remember even last year with Saban when we knew they were kind of drifting away from like what Saban is, but they still had some dogs. There was like this discipline to them that they still had. Dude, I don't know what's going on over there, but I don't understand how this is. I think it's a confidence thing with Milrow, but I don't understand how DeBoer, how do you say his name? Who cares?
DeBoer,
DeBoer.
yeah.
I think he might be a joke because
I don't think he's a
I
joke.
think, and this is what I'm saying. From a quarterback standpoint, this guy Milroe has talked about coming this year as a first round pick. And we've seen the flashes of like, yeah, I'm gonna take that guy first 15 picks. That Georgia game after that, I was like, dude, he's a top 10 pick. Like, how'd you not take Jalen Milroe? I don't know why he hasn't pulled his quarterback aside, looked him in the eye, and be like, hey, dude, you got this. I believe in you. Some type of confidence, because it doesn't look like he believes in himself, and he's missing throws that he doesn't miss. I've never seen him miss. I'm talking like wide open receivers running a 5 yard out route, and he's like sailing them. And I'm like, what are we doing? I was like, this is like Milroe from like 3 years ago when he was like a true freshman or a sophomore playing. And I was like, dude, this
And
guy
people were
is.
comparing him to Tyler Buchner to see who would be the best
Yeah,
competitor.
they're
And
like, I'm like,
yeah.
dude, this guy couldn't throw the ball. He was literally just a running back, and I've seen him mature into a very good quarterback. Dude, forget this guy was literally, he took Michigan, who won the Natty, to the overtime. To overtime. He was a play away, literally a play away from going to second overtime and then having a chance to go to the national championship.
To me, I can only attribute it to there was a changing tide that Saban was kind of leaving as it was coming into with college football, obviously with NIL. But the thing about Saban is that he's such royalty and is so respected and is such like a caring hard ass. Like he handles that line really well. From being like someone where like everything's good all the time to Mike McDaniel to being a total asshole, like I'm gonna pull something out. Like, remember like Mark Mangino on
Oh
the
my
can,
gosh,
like that guy? Like in the spectrum of those two guys, Saban is more of a hard ass, but you could tell he just like loves his players so much and wants them to succeed criminally.
yeah,
And
to a point that like it's like infuriating.
DeBoer. Obviously, with the X's and O's, like they wouldn't have hired him. He brought Washington back. And Washington, people don't realize, is like a poverty all-time college football
No,
franchise. Like
they
they are
are.
one of the worst teams
Jake
ever.
Browning was the only bright spot they had in the last like 20 years besides last year.
But Kalen DeBoer, they always talk about it, is a much more quiet, reserved guy. And I've had coaches before who are like that, who have that style. My first college football coach, I believe, had a similar style to DeBoer, where there was nothing before games, there was no rah-rah, there was nothing to get you excited, there was no like real anything to like light a fire under you. You just go out and play, and I think there's a similar thing going on here, where with the insurgence of this new NIL money, where they're becoming celebrities beyond their wildest dreams, some of
18.
these guys are one percenters in the state of Alabama. One of the poorest states in America, and they're getting paid $100,000 to play a game and go to college and be worshipped as celebrities. And now they don't have a guy who is telling them, hey, deep down, you're not anything until we win. When we win, then you'll be something. When you go to the NFL and you make a lot of money, then you'll be something. When you're a good husband and father, then you'll be something. Right now, they just think they're the guys. And they thought they were going to destroy Vanderbilt. They thought they were going to destroy South Carolina. They thought they were going to destroy Tennessee. Because they're Alabama and they deserve it. They don't get it. And to me, this is a team that has forgotten that they need to earn these wins. And Saban was always telling them they need to earn their wins. When Alabama was playing like Kent State and beating them by 50, Saban was still screaming at them in the fourth quarter, telling them to remember their routes. And to me, that's gone.
No, it
Because when
is.
you're up 40 now against Kent State or whatever garbage FBS, FCS team they played, I think they're just like, all right, guys, let's all go home and like start thinking about like what bar we're going to tonight. You know, it's completely changed. And
Who am I gonna slot? Who am I gonna hit up tonight? Who gonna come to the crib?
who are we flying out to Tuscaloosa instead of, oh, let's like make sure we play this like from start to finish?
No,
And
I
that
agree. I agree
it
with you.
bothers me. It
It
bothers
does.
me. And I think they can change it around, but that's why you have teams like Indiana currently ranked higher than Alabama, because some people bought into that mindset and some people didn't.
So, I agree with you. I agree with you. And it's going to be really curious to see how college football shakes out these next couple of weeks. I think this is a big week. Like you said, A&M playing LSU. Vanderbilt's playing Texas, which Vanderbilt now has creeped into the top 25, which I think is going to be a very interesting game. Missouri's playing Alabama. I mean, you have some
Missouri's
matches.
bad.
Yeah, and they're
Missouri's
also their
bad.
quarterback's extremely banged up, like extremely hurt.
Like Luther Burden's still gonna be like a great NFL player, I think. Like I'm gonna be really like when we get into like the scouting part of this podcast when like football's over, I'm gonna be a big Luther Burden guy,
No, he's gonna be pretty good.
but
He's
he
gonna be
can't
pretty
just
good.
throw himself the ball, you
No,
know?
yeah, no, that's a good point. I know. But to kind of segue out of the college football talk, I got a mailbag for you. It's really actually designed for you.
Just for
It's
me.
just for you because I'm not gonna answer this because I think you will be the best one too, and you'll see why.
Okay.
From a man, Thomas Schwab, valued listener, the boy,
Schwab.
A&M, my boy from A&M.
Is that where you went to college?
I talk about it enough, don't I?
Mm.
And he wants to know. Think of it this way. The Jets, when everything was going bad, decided to go all in and sign a former Super Bowl winning quarterback, trade for a Super Bowl winning quarterback, actually, and Aaron Rodgers.
I know where this is going.
Does it make sense for maybe not this year, but next year, that the Giants don't draft a quarterback and instead try and get Matthew Stafford from the Rams? The floor is yours.
I'm gonna, guys, hey, listeners, listen to me. I didn't know about this mailbag. So you can't accuse me of bringing up the Giants unnecessarily. You can't do that. I wasn't told about it. So the narrative ends now. That being said, Tomas and Thomas, let's answer your question because it's not a bad one. I am a little freaked out right now about the current college football
Quarterback class.
quarterback class because like that's the thing, right? Like we haven't had like a truly like mid class in a while since like the Kenny Pickett one where I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, some of these guys could work out, but really it's gonna be like just one of them at best. And
Right now, I think it's Cam Ward and Shadur.
I hate to tell you this, but do you know where your buddy Jalen Milroe is on this list of
Dude,
prospect rankings
probably
for
like what,
quarterbacks?
at eight?
It's currently below Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers, which
Well,
I know,
yeah.
and just sneaking right above Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Yeah,
That's
so
so gross.
right now, good listeners, here are our options for if we're going to draft a quarterback. And this will assume that we have tanked. We can pick basically anyone. We're not going to get the number one overall pick unless like really some really bad stuff happens. I don't really think that's likely. I don't think we're a number one overall pick type team. But let's imagine we're in the top five. Right now, the top five as CBS Sports, and frankly, I don't disagree with this ranking, is Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe. I would honestly put Jalen Milroe above Carson Beck, but that's pedantic. I outside of Cam Ward, I genuinely don't see anything above a second round for any of those guys. And I'm including Shadur in that. Because I don't think as a team it would be more advantageous to reach for somebody. And trust me, people are going to be reaching all over the place for those guys.
Yeah.
Because that's the current league. Why is JJ McCarthy getting drafted 10th overall? Or not 10th overall, like it was after that. But why is
Like
Michael
13.
Penix, why is Michael Penix getting drafted 10th overall?
The
Well,
sit. The
the
sit.
teams are taking guys and banking on them because GM people are breathing down GM's necks and they need quarterbacks. So to me, I'm saying it's either Cam Ward or you maybe get one of these guys in the second round. And when someone falls to a second round as a quarterback, their odds of success in the league plummet. And it's not because of any like actual real thing. It's just due to the fact that statistically, people who are drafted outside of the first round of quarterbacks are very, very rarely successful. And to me, like as interesting as Shedeur Sanders could be, there's still a lot of holes in his game
I
I
don't know,
personally
dude.
have.
I think he's damn good. I think he's damn good. He wasn't even throwing to Travis Hunter this past weekend, and they just beat the crap out of Arizona, who we were talking about being like a fringe, cheeky top 25 team, and they demolished them, dude. They demolished them.
I think, yeah, no, I understand that, but realistically, the things that were good, I mean, a sidebar, but the things that were good about Arizona were never really their defense. Like, Noah
Yeah,
Fajita
it was
is
just a
just a dude.
quarterback. It was just a quarterback receiver.
And I don't even know how to say the receiver's name.
It's McMillan. I just know how to say his
Yeah,
last
I,
name.
if you know who we're talking about, you'll know it's a hard name to say. But I wouldn't be opposed, genuinely, but I think Shadur is the type of guy that he needs the correct situation. The hero, because he'll
Now,
go from having.
if you put him on like the Raiders right now, I don't think he's gonna succeed if you put him on the Raiders with what the guys they have around him.
You also need to understand, and as much as I think, and I've heard good things about him personally, and I'm a big Dion guy, but, and this is a loaded term. This is a loaded term. It's going to come across differently is how I mean it, but he is a coach's son.
I see what you're
He's the
saying.
coach's kid. And even if he's very respectful and very coachable, which I bet he is, he will go from being in an offense where it's kind of like, yeah, sure, they're kind of like, do your thing, find Travis Hunter down there, your O-line's
Do
not
your
good,
thing,
to
bro.
like, let's imagine if he goes to the Brian Daboll offense. That is an alpha personality that is going to tell him to do exactly what he wants him to do, no
Every
matter
time.
what. And if that means you don't run, you stay in the pocket, or you move around a little bit and you play like some like QB power stuff, you're gonna have to do it. So to me, and I haven't even said Matt Stafford at all.
No.
Matt Stafford, frankly, as a bridge, if you sign him to like a 1 year fat deal, get one of these guys, develop them behind him. Because let's imagine there as well, we do sign Matt Stafford. Get rid of everybody. Jalen
I don't
Milroe,
think you want
second,
a guy
and
like Chill, but I think is I don't think you if you bring in a guy like Matt Stafford, I think you're bringing in more of a guy not like Milroe. I think you'd bring in a potential guy like a Quinn Ewers, or if you could, a Shadur. I don't think I would want a guy who is as dynamic with the football running as Jalen Milroe behind Stafford. Because what's Stafford going to teach him how to send the pocket?
but do you need Milroe to learn how to run in the NFL? Or do you need him to learn how to read defenses?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Because
That's a good point.
because Matt Stafford's not in that plan as the Giants GM, I'm not looking at Matt Stafford of telling him, how exactly to be an athlete, because that'd be a
Right.
terrible teacher for that. But Matt Stafford with Jalen Milroe in the film room, where he's telling him to like how to properly analyze these NFL defenses, which trust me, Jalen Milroe is going to struggle a bit in the NFL at
Oh,
first.
yeah,
At
definitely.
first, and not just like be like okay, but like he's gonna struggle.
I think most of these guys will, besides maybe Cam Ward. I think he Cam Ward's so good. Oh my God.
Cam Ward's arm talent alone, I think, is going to make him cover up certain things. Because realistically, how much do you need to read defenses if you can just put a ball anywhere on the field? And that's my big deal. So generally, to answer your question, yes, I would love that. I would love to get Matt Stafford, make him kind of like be what Andy Dalton was to Bryce Young, sort of, and kind of like
In a way that hopefully works.
in a way that's not like that at all, but is like that. I think that would be so, because realistically, we are a quarterback away. We are a quarterback away. We are a quarterback, a healthy left tackle, a
A
better running
corner and
back.
a corner.
No, our
What do
corner's
you mean?
right
You're not a
now.
Tyrann Tracy believer now?
Tyrann Tracy is our running back.
You said you need a running back.
Yeah, but we need like a someone other than Devin Singletary is what I mean.
I see what
We
you're
need like
saying.
another guy. But yeah, like I really do think we're a quarterback away from contending, and none of that's gonna be a sure answer, but nothing would be. Like I remember like the best way to win now was at one point going to be you guys don't sign Dak, and the Giants get him next year. We just plug him into our team. He gets angry because you guys like did him dirty, and just Dak Prescott on the Giants throwing to Malik Nabers. That works out pretty well.
Well, I'm not even gonna talk about I don't even want to pinpoint. I'm not even gonna go talk about my team. But I see what you're saying. I honestly do agree with you. And to wrap this thing up, let's get into our book. And I think this is the first time that this is gonna happen. But the more and more I thought about it, Jack, I think we're gonna rock a shared book it this week. And I think this is just gonna be a bad takes in
Rock a
Boston.
shared book it.
I think it is. I think it's gonna be a bad takes in
Are
Boston
you
collab
going to
play.
apologize to the audience like I did the time when I didn't
No,
have
I
a book
just really
it?
like it. Like, I just know I just really like it because the more and more I looked at the slate of games, the more this thing just really spoke to me.
All right, everybody. Take your notebooks out. Take your phones out. Take whatever you write down, because the Bad Takes in Boston crew have a book it for you. We're going to say it together, and we're going to explain it together bit by bit. It's going to be kind of like Run DMC, like how they rap, where it's like one guy says something and another guy says something. And we're just going to keep going, because the book it for week 10 of Bad Takes in Boston, we're going to say it together. 3, 2, 1, Vikings
Vikings money
money line
line
against the Rams. It couldn't be more free.
couldn't be more free.
And the odds are going to change. So get it while it's hot, because right now it's
-175.
minus 175.
It's also -3, but like, dude, I watched the Rams play at home against the Raiders, and oh my gosh, they
Like,
are not good.
and it's not a bet that you throw on your tuxedo and go down to Monte Carlo and like put it all on black and you feel all good riding your Ferrari around. It's minus 175. But you know what the best bets are, Tomas?
One that's a win's a win.
The ones that win. The
Yeah.
same way when you ask a funny boomer what their favorite beer is, they say cold and free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the Rams are not going to beat the Vikings. It is impossible to imagine a world where the Vikings, who are hotter than
Who are coming off their first loss?
who are coming off their first loss against a significantly better team than the Rams, a team that the Rams have no chance, have a snowball's chance in hell of beating. I
Yeah.
think I'm honestly shocked it's not like minus 175, like minus 4.5 or something.
Yeah,
Like
I agree.
this feels weird. And I think it's people waiting for the Vikings collapse. Like, I don't know if you remember
I think
like a
this is
couple of years ago when they started
this
off
little
5-0.
dip. I think this is the little dip where people are going to start saying, "Oh, the Vikings are going to suck." No, I watched them play. Their defense is really good, and Justin Jefferson is really good. Who's going to guard him? Oh, damn near 40-year-old Tre'Davious White. He's like 35. Like, who's really gonna guard Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison?
I can't think of anybody. I genuinely can't think of anyone. I Oh my
Their defenses, their offensive line is bad. And I think Brian Flores is gonna put that offense in a blender.
Yeah, no, he's gonna kill them. I got no hope for the Rams here. I think it's all Vikings. And other than that, we're feeling pretty good.
Vikings money line. Book
Book
it.
it.
So, to wrap this thing up, Jack, first off, I think if you've been one of our valued listeners over these past, wow, Jack, 10 weeks,
10 weeks.
almost two and a
Two and
half
a half
months,
months.
2.5 months we've been doing this. So if you're still listening to the Bad Takes in Boston, just know me and Jack,
We love you
we love you
guys.
guys. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate the mailbag questions, everything. So we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep going strong, bringing you this content every single week. We love you guys. We're a podcast for the people, by the people. We're Bad Takes in Boston, and we'll see you next week.